All right, welcome back everyone to Red Spotlight Entertainment for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Reaction and Commentary Series. I'm Alexis, joined by David, of course, here for the show that is made for the longtime Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan that wants to come back on here and talk endlessly about one of our favorite shows of all time. The end is near, it looks like, as far as this season is concerned. Isn't that, as I say all the time, it's just incredible to believe how... how much of the show we've already watched, and just how much more we're about to finish watching. Today, we're going to react to episode 19 of season 3, which is called Failed Experiments, which was written by Brent Fletcher and directed by Wendy Stensler. This was originally broadcast on ABC Television Network on May 3rd, 2016, to 2.92 million viewers. Of course, our returning main cast here, Clark Gregg, Ming-Na Wen, Brett Dalton, Chloe Bennett, Ian Kastiker, Elizabeth Henstridge, Henry Simmons, and Luke Mitchell, and joined by guest appearances, John Hannah returns as Holden Radcliffe, Axel Whitehead returns as James, or Hellfire, I guess if he likes to call himself that. We have Derek Phillips here as O'Brien, Alicia Vella Bailey as Alicia Whitley, and we also have Jason Glover playing Hive's original form. And I just want to make sure I have something else. Because I'm trying to remember what this episode even is. Because I feel like I had something else in my head about what we were going to watch today. And let me just be clear about the... Okay. Because there were some names that didn't make it on here. As far as... Yeah, okay. So here's a... Because there's another, I guess... major character that kind of makes her debut here, but it wasn't put in the guest list, but this is actually the first episode for Brianna, I believe her name is pronounced Venskas, Brianna Venskas as Agent Piper, who will slowly become more of a prominent personality as the seasons go by. But this is the first episode of her for her in the show, which is pretty major, obviously, for that actor. I like how they incorporated her in and out of the show. Just so that we had an extended cast, you know, that someone you could depend on in the background. And I think she does mention this sometime in season 5, that this was her very first mission.
Mm.
And it definitely was a memorable one. So it's, in fact, some of the artifacts that we're going to see in this episode do come back in that said season 5 episode. So that's why I was a little bit like confused about like, wait, is this not the right episode I thought we were going to watch today?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this is going to be a fun one. Before we head on to the reaction itself, do we have any comments from, I don't even know what episode.
It's from.
Let's not try and do all of them, but just the one from that one other episode. Yeah.
Yeah. From episode 17, The Team. Let's see. Let's start with Gary Marshall. It says, Gemma telling Fitz, one of these days we'll find something out in space. That's magnificent, right? Not trying to affect us or kill us like Hive. Wait 4 seasons and they will. And they will. Come out weird. but yeah. And then next one's from Silva. Let me see. I'll start with the short ones first. RIP Powers Booth. Such a fantastic actor, and agree with you too that he killed it in this episode. Malik is indeed another underrated and underappreciated part of this show. Which...
Yeah.
Fantastic. And... Agent Soto is correct. Not seeing John Carpenter's The Thing is even more unforgivable than Jaws and Terminator, in my opinion. As one movie fan to another, watch The Thing, please.
To be clear, you've seen Terminator 2.
Yeah, I've seen Terminator 2.
No. You just haven't seen the original Terminator. You really are a Lincoln. You're off the team. You haven't seen the original Terminator. The original Terminator and Jaws, they do speak for themselves as, you know, just like classic untouchable movies. The Thing by John Carpenter is, like, I don't even know where to start, where to end. Like, a lot of, basically all of horror and science fiction today wouldn't be the same without that movie. And I think when you see it, you kind of get the influences off the bat immediately. It is, it's so good. You just have to watch that one.
And then last one from Silva. Greetings, my fellow agents. Hope this finds you both doing good as usual. I always feel bad for the character of Joey and the actor who played him. Even nowadays, he's forgotten by many fans who don't give him credit as the first gay character of the MCU and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. As a Chicano, it was also cool to see Joey and Elena, two Latin superheroes, speak to each other in Spanish. It would have been nice to see him, even for a cameo in season 6 and 7. Which, yeah.
Yeah, I, it is regrettable, or maybe I should, maybe unfortunate would be the better way of saying it, that, he did not, find his way of staying on for the show. I can only assume, and you tell me if I'm reading this differently, maybe we were told that, is that what did they just mention in that comment that he left for a different show?
No.
Well, either way, he didn't come back. I want to say that part of the reason that he left is because he had something else lined up, the actor. And I guess he could also add this into yet another unforeseen outside force that changed the direction of the season and the series. Like, I think maybe at one point they were thinking of having a lot more with this character, and then because of things happening, it just kind of petered out. It could be one of these things. And if that's the case, I at this point have lost complete count of all the number of things that were basically making them change things on the go. That was completely out of their control. Does he not get enough credit? The unfortunate thing about Joey is that he just wasn't in enough episodes to get the time necessary to really make much of an impact. I mean, he was the central focus, really, not really of any single episode, but I mean, he had the first episode of season 3. He also was in the first episode where Yo-Yo debuted, although she had a far bigger splash, I'm sorry to say, if we're going to do comparisons. And then there was the team, and I think, and yes, he made other appearances, and, you know, but I just don't feel like it was enough time to, I mean, and I, look, there are plenty of other characters that I think maybe have had less to work with and made more of an impact with some people. Sure, if you feel that way about that character, I'm not going to say you're wrong for feeling that way. Please don't misconstrue that. I will just say it is unfortunate that this, of all characters, being one of the ones that fell by the wayside and didn't come back into the ensemble, is unfortunate because, that I'm aware of, this was one of the, what, the one of three LGBTQ plus characters that were involved on the show, and the other two were not considered full-time. The other characters, and I mean in the main S.H.I.E.L.D. team, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. deserves a lot of credit for being one of the most diverse casts. And when I say diverse, I mean just like, you know, different representations, different nationalities, different faiths, different ethnicities as well. I feel like it's a great ensemble of that. One of the things that they were lacking on, and one of the show's super fans, Jamie Jurak, has really kind of called them out on in a loving way, not in a mean "oh fuck you" kind of way, is that one of the things that the show never got around to really doing was having a main LGBTQ character on the show. I think this was supposed to be one of them. I think Joey Gutierrez, it seemed like initially, was going to be one of these characters that was going to be on the show for a long time. Although, when you consider the fact of how many things they were already juggling in the air with season three, and how clearly Lincoln got fumbled and got sidelined and also led to his character not really coming off the runway because of that, I don't know where they would have put in the time. I don't know, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, ultimately, is like the other characters that I think of would fall into this category of LGBTQ plus would be, I know Piper would be one of them, and they made that clear, I believe, in once or a couple of scenes later on. Mm. And the other one would be Benson, Dr. Benson, who is a main-ish character in season six. He ended up being May's ex-husband's, Andrew's favorite professor.
Mm-hmm.
And they recruit him because they literally have nobody else. But they mainly recruit him because they want him to begin a new S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the only like characters that outwardly, I think, are identified as such that are near the main cast. I'm sure there were maybe others, but that's just something to take a note of and something that has been talked about in the interwebs, if one cares about such things. You would think they would, and I think they were trying to with this addition, but clearly things didn't quite work out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. And it was nice seeing both of those characters, Joey and Yo-Yo, talking in Spanish. So.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I was noting, too. It's like, you have to keep in mind, it's like, I feel like in recent years, it's kind of been a lot more okay for Spanish to be heard. It used to be that there'd be like every like, you know, odd, maybe one word will be in Spanish and the rest will be in English. But I just feel like lately in these last 10 years, you've been seeing a lot more works that have allowed for more fluent Spanish conversations without even the need sometimes for having subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, they had subtitles here. This is, of course, network television, but it was a pretty nicely sustained conversation in Spanish. And I also think of, like, you know, I recently watched One Battle After Another. That whole middle sequence where Sergio, played by Benicio del Toro, there was a whole conversation carried on, and I don't think they care to put subtitles, and I'm actually kind of like, good for you. Mm-hmm. About that. Also, West Side Story, I don't think had subtitles for the Spanish that was on there as well. So I feel like things are interesting now where we have much more of that kind of communication being put out there, which is cool.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's all the comments.
Okay, let's go ahead and get the show on the road. Let's go ahead and press play in 3, 2, 1, and go. Previously on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This is a pretty cool sequence here. Mm-hmm. This is actually Hive, or Alvius, as his name is. This is him in what we presume to be prehistoric times? The age of the Neanderthals?
Maybe, yeah, I don't know. It's probably.
Why? Oh, why did I have many interactions today that went just like this? If you know, you know. That's pretty.
He's like, fine. A lot of moments of everyone just being like, shut up and listen. It's like, get it with the program and all that. I like it. Mainly like it because it's the two that are like, heads, two characters I like the most. Yeah. May and Coulson.
I'm not gonna.
That was a reckless. Wreck of just being super impatient. He's like, stop talking. Can I press it now, please?
Yeah.
So funny. Oh my god.
Every single member of Hydra on this show dies horribly. I don't know if I pointed it out. But I mean every single and
dude, that's just crazy like CG.
Right? Man, I love May's frustration there. It's just like, can we just do what we have to do and not like get this personal shit in the way? It's like, it's not your fault. It's not.
Again, I love these little moments with the actors. Like the look on Coulson's face when he's like, I agree with Simmons, but you can tell Coulson's very much like, you agree, but. And like you can tell, like, okay, you're being careful because now you're together.
Only when we gotta pay for it. That's a great line.
That nod, that ten of the turn of the head there is like, what? I just say, really, really enjoy how this show just finds these, like, storied character actors, and they just make a huge impression right off the bat. John Hannah's delivery on some of those lines where it's just like, okay, I'm gonna enjoy you for a while, aren't I?
No, I love the line where it's like, I was swept up in the moment, you know? Like, I just said so much about his character. I love it. And why, you know, things lead to the next season.
Yeah. The next time Fitz calls someone the absolute worst, he would be referring to his grandson. Yeah, that was probably a no duh kind of like, yeah, you, maybe take that to a place where you're not going to destroy one of the most important rooms in the whole base. May is really killing it, isn't she? Right. She's really believable. For as much as she hates like undercover stuff, like she's really good at it. Mm-hmm. Like,
she seems excited for this one, but I think it's only because she knows it's gonna end with her knocking him out.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Yeah, that's what she's looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
See? We're on the same page here. It's kind of reminding me of Sinners in a way.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right? A little bit? The yeah. connection and everything?
There,
the way that Simmons gets about carving into a body,
yeah, but then also too, she could have told him in that moment also, it's like, yeah, and then I need to get a tissue sample from your brain in order to do it.
Yeah,
then,
she could have, but she didn't, and now here we are.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
The way he just gave it up. Oh my god.
She did not hold back either. She was like. That's creepy. And then this visual of something falling out of the sky is like, oh, what did he just do? Hell of an entrance.
Yeah. I'm actually curious where they found these two, you know? It's like, you find two ginormous dudes. I don't know. It's funny.
They're going to explain right now why those two.
No, I'm talking about the actors themselves. It's like, I don't know. I just find it funny. Oh. Like, I just found these two giant freaking actors to play the Kree and all that.
Good old Bill McCreary bringing that old theme back. I love that whole interaction where it's like that one shield agent comes back and Piper's trying to process, wait, what? Aliens? And May's like, great, now what? Like, just took another inconvenience, just like rolls off her, you know, shoulders. And Piper's like, wait, aliens just came from the sky? Are we not going to like process any of this?
Yeah, I love it.
It's been a kind of a brutal episode for kills, hasn't it? I'm like. Providence. Nosferatu.
Oh, okay.
Your delay is providential, my boy. Providential or Providence or whatever it is. This is a thousand times. I just watched Nosferatu like an hour ago, so just it's on the mind. Happy Halloween, everybody. Just
yeah, but if I get it out on time, should be Halloween.
Yeah.
I mean, they wanted to leave because of that too in the beginning of that episode.
Oh,
oof.
Damn,
Oof.
It's a really interesting parallel. We think about what's happening here. You know, obviously, Max trying to do the whole, like, let me bring you back with, like, reminding you of our connection was and with words and talking you down. This is what we saw happen at the beginning of the show with the first episode of Coulson with Mike Peterson. He was successful in that. This is what we'll see at the end of season 5 where Daisy herself is going to try that with Glenn Talbot, who is at that point Graviton. Interesting thing, to a bit of a parallel, both with Talbot and with Daisy in these circumstances with at the end of season 5 and where we are right now, both of them, not necessarily themselves, either being controlled or blended with a different kind of sub-hive mind. In this case, Daisy has a bit of hive in her head, which is causing her to... She's not brainwashed, she's herself, but she's also, I think... a bit of herself with the extra bit of dopamine and Hive's memories. And then you also have Graviton, not just Talbot's head, but all the other voices. Just an interesting bit of parallel there. In that sense, I wanted to bring up and talk over all this wonderful action happening.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's happened, but everyone's just like, hey, everyone's going through it this episode.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
In their own way.
Yeah, I just, I love all the arguments, dude. Like,
yeah.
Every single
line of dialogue. Can you just imagine a show like this with no conflict and the characters all agree and never get into any kind of spat or disagreement?
Or not only that, but like you have characters arguing, but just you don't care about any of the dialogue. Because my first thought about that is Ahsoka, where like you have Ahsoka Sabine. You know, arguing whether or not to get Ezra back and all that, but we just never really cared for it. I got this right there. I never really cared about any of that dialogue at all. There wasn't any good reasons on both sides as to whether or not they should save him, and it just was never that interesting. Whereas with this one, like I was about to say, like every single line of dialogue is interesting. Whether or not to save Daisy, why each one of them is wants to save Daisy.
It's believable and engaging.
Especially with Mac and May. You know, she's right. It's like, why is everyone making this so fucking personal? Let's focus on one problem at a time, and let's focus on the biggest problem, and that is fucking Hive. And I mean, who knows what could have happened if he had focused on the mission itself.
It's one of these episodes where it's really, really, really hard not to immediately jump into the next one. I got to tell you, it's like this is one of those like if you right now, that since we have access to it on streaming. I'd be like, fuck it. Next episode, because it's just like it amps it up and you want to go ahead. I feel like by the time we get to these last episodes of a season, you just want to go one after the other after the other. I mean, this was the. If anything, this was the first of the last four episodes of the season. So they kind of all kind of go one after the other.
For sure.
Let's go ahead and go to Ami.
Okay. I thought she was going to offer up Coulson, but she's offering herself up as a proof of concept. Oh, no bumper this time. I was thinking that, like, we keep ignoring the fact that this shit is running through Coulson as well. I completely forgot, to be honest, that she's got Kree blood in her as well. But is that her protecting her family unknowingly yet again? Like subconsciously? She could have offered up, hey, we could lure Coulson out or get Coulson, but no, she's putting her life on the line. Which I guess, you know, I guess that could be a bigger sell of her kind of loyalty. Is she partly subconsciously doing these things like we called out, like getting caught on her own facial recognition system or holding back against Mac? I mean, well, until she wasn't, because she was about to do the deed. She was about to crush his heart, but then she got intercepted before that. I think she was actually going to deliver on that promise, but she held off as long as she did because of her feelings for them. And she just can't see past this shit right now. It's just too much of a fog. The fact that we started us off with how Hive was created, and then the way that we also equated the Kree and the way that they, you know, engineer the soldiers, the weapons, the things that they need based on a need. And that's what S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing, how he tried to, like, compare the Kree and them as the way S.H.I.E.L.D. handpicks and cherry picks their own soldiers, their own weapons, molds them to the devices of what they need at the time, the way they adapt, the way they evolve, the way they fill the void for what is needed in the world, and that they are these constructs of war, but that's not what they are meant to do. That's just kind of how they kind of fall into. I love that philosophical back and forth that happened there as Daisy and him was just kind of walking and talking and doing their thing and talking about these like larger than life kind of concepts that have both shaped them and how they both need to overcome their maker to get beyond that. And that's why he was like, hey, I feared this thing, but that's the only way forward. We need Kree blood. Got to face my fear. We'll call him down here, get a fresh supply. And by doing so, and two, he figured like shields on their way. We'll face our creators together. We will overcome and surpass them and prove that we can exist beyond what we were made for and who made us. I don't know. I like that whole thing. But he completed his mission. They both agreed to bring a heart back if things went south and didn't go the way they were wanting. You know, especially with her more particularly, because she wanted to bring them into the fold and make them inhuman. But as she said, if they don't want to do it, I'll bring back your heart. And guess what? He fought his creator, brought back a heart. She fought S.H.I.E.L.D., didn't. So, like, he's like, I don't know. Do you really mean it? Do you really mean it? Meanwhile, the gang back home is trying to figure out how to disrupt the flow, the operation, the connection to the parasite in the hosts. So they try to come up with a serum. The likelihood that it could kill the test subject, though, because they are still trying to figure this out, is extremely high. And then Lincoln volunteered. You know, I like that back and forth because I like that, like, Fitz was able to kind of connect with him because the way they were kind of arguing about it is like, you know, she wouldn't want you to put your life on the line for doing any of that thing. She wouldn't want you to risk this for her or anything like that. And, you know, everybody thought the same thing about Fitz's determination to find her. Him jumping through an alien portal without no idea of what it would do to his body or where we'd go or what would happen. She would not be back if he'd have never took that risk. And that's what Lincoln was doing. And that's why Fitz kind of understood from that perspective what was happening there. Because if Fitz had asked Simmons if she would want him to take that risk for her, obviously she'd say no. At the end, that risk is what brought her here. And that's what he was trying to do. He was taking a leap of faith. Unfortunately, at the end, it didn't work, but they still tried. They had to do something. He's got to do something. You know, they all don't know what to do. They're all wrestling and pushing and pulling and trying to figure out what to do because, like with Daisy, also trying to find these roundabout ways to justify keeping them alive so she can bring them into the fold. Both sides are doing the exact same to try to not have to take her out of the picture as well. But now, after this little thing, it seems like both sides are now like, well, I guess, are these options now off the table? Do we have to go at it? Do we now have to go into all these different conflicts now from this point forward without the kitty gloves on? Are we going to have to treat her as the enemy, as the threat? You know, is she going to have to treat them fully as the enemy, as a threat? You know, trying to sever that void, saying all the hurtful, mean things she could, but Max still put down his weapons, stood his ground, like the good lad that he is, and she just wailed on him in frustration because she couldn't save them. And that's kind of what they're doing as well. They're just, all of this, everything, like from the Kree comparison to S.H.I.E.L.D., to S.H.I.E.L.D.'s relationship to her, to S.H.I.E.L.D. and her relationship to them, and him to his relationship to their own people. It's like it's just this fucking web of the same cycle repeating itself end on end, like a feedback loop of love and destruction and pain. God damn it. Dude, the way that fucking May went in there and seduced James like that, playing like she was like a Hydra agent, just kind of strutting about and be like, what are you doing here? Because he just looks like he doesn't belong. That whole thing was hilarious, getting intel about Hive's location by playing upon his, thirstiness, let's call it that as much. I thought that was really, really fun. There's a lot of great little elements in this, man.
Really interesting observation that Ami made about that. I completely went over my head, but maybe, yeah. Some of the characters is just, you know, give us looks. But I didn't consider previously what Fitz might be. Not only would it be his professional opinion that it may be worth the risk for Lincoln to take that serum, if you want to call it that, or not serum, but I guess whatever. Mm-hmm. But it had not occurred to me that maybe perhaps Fitz could be resonating a little bit with what Lincoln might be going through, since Fitz did put himself through a lot of risks and a lot of danger, really, to get Simmons back, and he was successful.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really interesting observation to note there.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's look at the Reddits. What were people saying after the episode was aired about 10 years ago? And actually, this is a really interesting comment because, around this time, ABC Television Network. Now, this is not part of our experience because we're watching it on Disney Plus, so it doesn't like include the bumpers on ABC Network. But if you were watching this 10 years ago on ABC Network live, and at the end of every episode, you would get a preview of what the next episode would be. In addition to, you would get exposed to how the network was marketing the show. And at this time, they were going full-throatedly with the promotional campaign of Who Will Die? Which I'm not necessarily a fan of, but if you recall that. And so the first comment here, I have to say, the whole Who Will Die adverts are getting annoying. It's almost like we have nothing else to look forward to this season and to look forward to in this season's finale aside from finding out who gets to fly into space.
Yeah.
That's... And then the next person here, that's because ABC is shit at making adverts.
I mean, to be fair, though, it's a common thing when it comes to
network television.
No, I mean, specifically with just this kind of setup, I guess, or hype they're trying to make. Mm-hmm. It's like, who's going to die? Because, again, this happened with Arrow. I can't remember which season it was, but they were hyping up like, so what's going to die? Guess who's gonna be, and then, you know, every other video coming out was just like, it's gonna be this character because this one's too important. There's no way they're gonna kill off this character. Everyone likes this character. So, like, you can figure it out, basically. So those kinds of adverts are just really dumb to do in general, honestly. As to what they could have done, I mean, just focus on what you want to hype up for the next one. It's like, oh, it's,
you know. I like how I'm looking at these comments here. Piper made an impression, maybe because she spoke. Who is the new agent with all the lines? Are they introducing her just to kill her? And then somebody else responded, of course, they're giving her a face so you're sad when it gets ripped off. That's hilarious. No, but I think it's pretty notable. They gave her lines.
Yeah.
And she like, again, she's not the focus of the episode. But again, I think she should be commended. And maybe, look, the thing is, look, if you make an impression one way or another with either the audience or with the crew and the cast, they'll keep you around. Lest we not forget that Jeff Ward was only supposed to be in one episode of the whole show because he was supposed to play a different character that gets killed off in that same episode. But because he was so charming and charismatic and he got along so well with the people in just that one, I don't know, day or meeting, they gave him a character that would literally stay with the show for the remainder of its run. Mm-hmm. So, honestly, Brianna, who plays Piper, should be commended because, yeah, they gave her lines, but she delivered them and she made an impression. I mean, I'm never going to forget what freaking aliens just landed.
That was really funny.
That's a great one.
Mm-hmm. And then she was becoming more of a standout as the seasons went on because I'm like, oh, dang, they're giving you even more stuff to do. Oh, that's really, really cool. And, you know, I wish it would have been a part of like the finale and all that. I don't know. That would have been interesting, but like, I understand maybe just focus on the main ones and all that.
She was there.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't a big part of it, but she was there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I do.
At the very least, I like the acknowledgement from the other characters too. It's not like she's just there for one lines, kind of like, season two, guy got killed off. Mid-season, I can't remember
Trip?
His name. Trip, yep. Like, he was sort of just giving out lines, and then that's it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that. I was going to say something else, but I forgot.
Yeah, and it's one of these things where it's like, again, I don't think that Piper was intended to be a character that would be back, much less go all the way to the final seasons of the show. I just feel ultimately that it ended up being just by sheer charm of the actor herself. And I think I was happy to see that. At this point, we have not, Davis has not been back. We have seen him, and I believe in one episode in season one, he had like a one little, I guess you could say, cameo. but he won't be a regular until season 4. That's where we'll see more and more of him. But yeah. And I want to say O'Brien, if I'm not mistaken, the other guy that had lines, we have seen him in the background in the past. I believe he was also one of the agents in Bahrain, if I'm not mistaken. Some of the super fans should correct me on that. Let's see here. Props to the S.H.I.E.L.D. Red Shirts for all surviving this episode. Oh, my God. I mean, let's be real here. You can't help but wonder when you're watching this for the first time, are they introducing these people just to kill them?
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, that kind of happens. Let's see here. My favorite thing of the whole episode, the relationship between Daisy and Mac, which is not romantic at all, being treated like something meaningful and emotional and immensely difficult for both of them. I like this show a lot and I care about most of the characters, but sometimes I think that because the characters' lives are so insular, the writers don't bother showing them being close, like giving them more reasons to care about each other beyond the fact that they work together in a high-stress environment and are also apparently the only other people any of them know. But I really felt like Daisy and Mac both love each other and process the other's actions as a huge betrayal. And the juxtaposition of Daisy being willing to kill him versus Mac not being willing to fight her in her state was genuinely affecting to me. So cheers to the writers for giving a non-romantic relationship so much emotional weight, and to Chloe Bennett and Henry Simmons for making me want to cry little baby tears. Nice point to bring out there. Okay. I don't know if I have too much more here. I'll briefly look at Eric Goldman. He says, we've got some intriguing insight into Daisy's POV as Hive's agent here, as he began to form his own Inhuman team alongside her. The great John Hanna didn't have a lot to do here, but he was introduced fairly late into the episode, so hopefully that changes next week. Also, a big fan... Wait. Oh, this is the wrong review. Sorry, that's the... Wait, wrong one. Okay, this is what he says for this episode. While we had an appearance from a couple of Kree this week, that what's happening on S.H.I.E.L.D. right now still doesn't seem to be at a place where the team or... one of them, at least, would actually need to go into space. Meanwhile, Daisy as Hive's servant has been interesting, while Hive himself has become less involving the more time we spend with him. With just 3 episodes left, 2 airing on the same night, let's see how things escalate as the season comes to a close. Let me see here. And yeah, we'll call it there.
Mm.
Any more comments before we close today?
No. I mean, the one compliment I keep giving, you know, dialogue. It's just always great. With this show, I loved every single one of it, especially because we were for sure like, you know, locked in with this episode, just like focusing on every piece of dialogue. But you know, we tried to talk as we went along.
I mean, we always want to. Right? But sometimes we just can't help but be affected so much by such a wonderful show.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I did try and point a couple of things out. Both of us did as we went along, but that's kind of the difficulty of it there. Anywho, thank you for joining us, and we will see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.